Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to Investors Conference Call of WSFX Global Pay Limited, formerly known as Wall Street Financial Limited. As a reminder, all participants' line will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Material and information in this conference call is general background about the company's activities as the date of this presentation. Information in this presentation should not be considered as advice or recommendation to investors or potential investors in relation to holdings, purchasing or selling securities, and does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation or needs. This information is given in summary form and does not purport to be complete. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shri Krishna, CEO and Whole Time Director, and Ms. Pooja, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening. This is Shri Krishna here, along with Pooja, the company CFO, and it's a pleasure to connect once again with our investors and present WSFX performance for the quarter and year ended March 31, 2024. As always, I'll start with a small presentation on the company, its performance, and the various initiatives. We already uploaded the presentation on the company's website as well as the BSE website. Now we quickly get into the presentation. We start with a brief about the company. WSFX Global Pay is RBI authorized AD category 2. We are 30 plus years old company. We are listed in BSE and we are ISO 27001 certified company. From a product perspective, we deal in foreign currency, prepaid cards, outward remittances, catering to students, corporates, leisure travelers. We have a network of 19 branches and we have a 300 plus strong team. We do our business in partnership with leading banks, banks like Yes Bank, IndusInd Bank, HDFC Bank, IDFC, RBL, Axis. We are also partnered with Thomas Cook for selling their cards. WSFX also launched its own card 5 years back. It's called the WSFX Smart Currency Card, which is a co-branded card with Yes Bank, and which is something which has been one of the unique propositions of the card. It's a Forex card with an INR wallet. From a digital solutions perspective, the company has multiple platforms catering to every segment. The company has a list of marquee customers. We deal with EY, Zoho, Reliance, Tech Mahindra, Accenture, Siemens, L&T, Titan, HDFC, Credila. We deal for their corporate requirements or partner with them for their customers. Now we quickly go to the next slide, where we talk of the digital platforms and solutions. Over the last couple of few years, the company had a strategic vision of moving towards digital, and we have built a lot of propositions for the B2B and D2C space. So one of the first product we launched was our co-branded card, which has our own dedicated app, the WSFX Smart Currency Card. Along with it, we also have our corporate platform, which is the WSFX Smart Corporate Platform. In fact, around 35 to 40% of our business gets routed through the Smart Corporate Platform. We have a Smart Agent Platform for our agent partners. In fact, most of the agents now we are onboarding only through this platform. This is a very effective lead management and order processing platform. We have also built a global pay FPaaS platform, wherein we can give the solution to aggregators. This is a new platform which we have introduced. We are seeing keen interest for it. Finally, our D2C app, which we have been seeing quite a bit of traction in the last 6 months because of a fully digital process which we have brought into the D2C app and portal. Now we come to the Q4 and FY23-24 highlights and the results. Overall, Q4 was profitable and we closed this year with a good result. You can say this year is a transformational year for us. Maybe we can say a foundational year in terms of business growth and profit, because we changed the business mix in the last 2-3 years and we have firmly come out of the pandemic impact. So you can say a foundational year where we have seen growth in all the segments and also the digital platform adoption, and we were able to onboard the key customers. So from a gross turnover perspective, for the quarter we had done 1,280 crores. Overall for the year, our GTO was around 4,853 crores. Revenue from operations for Q4 was 18.13 crores. For the year, it was 70.04 crores. At a PBT level, we were 1 crore positive. For the year, we closed at 4.12 crores profit. So overall, it has been a very good year for us, where we can strongly say that we are completely out of pandemic, booking profits for the last 2 years, and for the last 7 quarters, we have been profitable. From a digital perspective, we have over 30,000 app users. In fact, our digital base is slowly growing. Now we are focusing on our D2C solution, because B2B may, we have got some hold in the market. So one of the key updates which I had already dwelt upon last presentation was related to regulatory. There is a draft framework where we feel the AD2 scope is going to increase. There is the introduction of something called FXEs, Forex Correspondents, which is envisaged by Reserve Bank of India. Once that comes through, we feel that will be a strategic business model for us in terms of reach, in terms of having a FXE network, Forex Correspondent Network, where our reach can go pan-India without us having direct physical infrastructure. So this opens up opportunities. Parallelly, in fact, we are expecting the opening up of the trade remittance up to INR 15 lakhs for AD2. That will also give us a scope for a new line of business which is not there today. So we feel that over the next couple of months, when this regulation is in place, there is a bigger opportunity for the company. So finally, we are happy to recommend a dividend of rupees 1 per equity share. That's 10% of the face value of rupees 10. Subject to the approval of shareholders at the ensuing AGM. So quickly we do a comparison of performance in the next slide, where we look at this quarter, Q4 versus Q4 of last year. You can see that from a revenue from operations of this year, this quarter we closed at 18 crores, whereas same quarter last year we were at 12.69 crores. We showed a 43% growth. And at a PBT level, we showed 106% growth, wherein we have closed at a crore for this year, and last year same quarter it was 48 lakhs. So if we compare Q4 versus Q3 of the same year, there also you can see we have shown a 77% growth in PBT. On a year-on-year comparison of 23-24 versus 22-23, revenue from operations grew from 46 crores last year to 70 crores. PBT from 89 lakhs moved to 4.12 crores, which is a 359% growth. So overall, the growth has been fantastic for the year. Next slide gives you a last 8 quarters ka results. So you can see the trend that the company has been growing. Obviously, Q2 is always a peak season for us. There will be a spike in Q2 because of peak student season. But if you look at it, last 7 quarters we have been profitable, and this gives you a last 8 quarters trend. So the highlight would be that our GTO is growing, our revenues are growing, and our PAT has grown. So overall, from a PBT level, you can see from 89 lakhs we have moved to 4.12 crores. So we come to the next slide, where we talk about revenue and expenses comparative chart. So we have taken the base year when we became a standalone Forex business. So our revenue for the last 8 quarters, you can see, has been growing. And obviously, Q2 is a peak season for us. So every Q2, you will see a spike. That is the seasonality in the business, because we have a major concentration. We are majorly focused on student business. Selling and general expenses obviously has gone up because our business has grown, and we have also added more team members. So from a 200 plus, we have moved to 300 plus, and we have also grown our business. So obviously there is a corresponding selling, general and admin expense increase. Now we talk about the priority segments. So we are keenly focused on students, millennials, and one of our primary businesses, university fee payments and living expenses. So that is an area where that spurs our outward remittance growth, and obviously corporate and leisure spurs our prepaid card growth. So if you look at it from the base year, we have consistently grown, and today from the base year, you look at it, we are at 500% growth. In outward remittance, we are at 409% growth. We have grown substantially. Obviously, Q2 will always be a spike for us because that's high season. So the next slide is the financial results. As you can, as I already explained, we are profitable. As of year ended, we are at a PBT of 4.12 crores against previous year of 89.91 lakhs. So we go to the last slide of the presentation, where we talk of the way forward. Obviously, we look forward to this year with a lot of optimism. The market dynamics is changing. There are regulatory changes happening. There are explosive growth opportunities. LRS is growing. There is this FXE model which is going to come in. Trade remittance is an opportunity. So as a company, WSFX has multiple platforms. Today, we have a smart corporate platform, smart agent platform, a global pay portal and app. And we are also tied up with multiple banks overseas for providing student accounts, etc. So we are also looking at various types for neo banking financial services. We are also working on our Forex prepaid card direct issuance. So you can say we are geared up, we are in the right position to take advantage of the opportunities which the market provides. Keeping in mind that we need to be asset light, scalable, efficient, we have built this digital proposition. And we feel that even for the FXE model, we have the technology available to quickly leverage this business model. So our commitment remains to create true value for our shareholders. And with this, I come to the end of my presentation. Thank you for all the support. Now I will hand this conference back to the moderator. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Aniket Gada from Investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, I would like to congratulate Mr. Sri Krishna and Ms. Pooja for the great results. My first question is the GTOs grew from for the year FY23 from 2,960 crores to 4,853 crores, which is approximately 64% increase. What can you attribute this growth to? And
yes.
And the second question is, for the next fiscal, are we looking for similar growth? And if you could give a forecast for the industry for the next year, FY25?
If you look at GTO growth, our gross turnover has moved to 4,853 crores, right? So, yesterday, if you look at it, we had this year we had closed at 4,853 crores against the previous year of nearly around 3,000 crores. Correct?
Yeah.
So, essentially, as I said, no. See, last 3 years we were stuck with the impact of the pandemic, and there was only one segment which was really working, which was the student segment, and we survived 2.5 years through that. But subsequently, the growth has happened in all the segments. If you see LRS data, last year approximately LRS figures would tell you that there was a $33 billion market. Travel has really grown very large, maybe $15+ billion. Student remittance is around $3.5 billion. And then if you see gift and family maintenance also has grown. So primarily the company has always focused on student. Corporate is a big thing. Corporate was totally out during COVID. corporate travel has also picked up, albeit not the way leisure has picked up, because corporate may still, people are now used to this work from home or handling through VCs, but still corporate business has grown. Leisure has really grown. Students have strong, seen a very consistent growth. So the company strategically has been focusing on only these segments for the last several years, moving decisively away from currency operations, wholesale business, etc. So obviously, we have some very strategic tie-ups also, in both in terms of corporates or our B2B partners, which has ensured that we grew, in fact, we have grown slightly higher than the market also.
See, as I said, this industry
is not a very organized industry. There are only very few serious players in the market. So we definitely are optimistic about growth. As long as the market grows, the company is very optimistic about its growth. While I would not want to project numbers, I definitely, when you look at it, overall leisure segment is growing. There is a strong demand for students wanting to travel overseas. And also corporate business on year is slowly going back to pre-COVID levels. So looking at the market overall and with the Indian propensity to travel also, I am quite optimistic about future market growth and along with it the company's growth.
So could we say that the industry could grow in a similar levels to this year or the next year? The industry?
LRS growth has been there for year on year. If you see LRS growth for the last few years, it is really, now it's $33 billion. So while we are, and travel is just not, travel is just growing. So we are optimistic that the growth will be there. You know, precisely at maybe, I don't want to give a figure now, because at the end of the day, LRS data is RBI published data. Instead of me giving a figure, you can always go to LRS data, which is available on RBI website. Year on year, it has grown, and today it stands at around $33 billion.
Okay. Well, first, the RBI data was still... the last I see was still, they published till January, I think. They are not published this quarter.
It has come. So if you extrapolate, you will still look at, by today or tomorrow, you will have March data also. So if you consolidate, it will be close to $32 billion.
And corporate would be primarily prepaid for FX cards, right?
Absolutely. Corporate and leisure will be FX cards. It will be student who will be predominantly student, and then tour remittances. This will all be the remittance.
Also, in the regards to the industry, Ebix USA has filed for bankruptcy. Has it affected our Indian FX industry, because Ebix Cash has a large presence in our country?
So essentially, as I said, Ebix is my competition, so I cannot say anything good or bad about them. The question is, their parent company is in trouble. As of today, I have not seen any impact on the Indian operation. They are still my competition. From the market, I have not seen an impact as of now which has reached me. But over a period, what will happen and all, we are not aware of it, because that's within that company. But India, where their operations go on, they operate through this Indian ADT license.
So, are we not seeing some customers shifting to us, or is there any such regard that we can see right now?
So, essentially, if you look at it, customers are today shifting to Wall Street, not because that they don't want EBX or they don't want the Thomas Cook. We are pitching our customer to come to our digital proposition. So we are the only player who has got a proper corporate platform, which provides a complete automation for the corporate. On those merits only, we pitch with all the corporates, and all the larger corporates, we try to do some sort of a workflow automation or get them into our corporate platform. So our focus has been not for the, getting customers, because our model itself is a digital model. If you look at our network, we have only 19 branches. We have 300 people only. So we are planning to use technology to grow, not, have branch network and people's network to grow. So obviously, every company today is looking at a kind of a BCP. So every company today have two vendors. And as of today, as I said, the market may, there are not too many serious players available, and we stand a unique position. If an opportunity gets created, like what you say, we are very much poised to take advantage of it.
I was just a little late for the con call. I just wanted to ask if you could explain the regulatory update that RBI has done in layman terms, and how does it affect us?
So essentially, quickly I will tell you, 1,750 FFMCs are there. RBI is not going to, I think the idea is that FFMCs will not exist after a couple, after renewal it won't be done. RBI will not renew them, they will be given an option to become an AD category 2 or they should become an FXC of an AD 2 or a bank. So essentially 1750 FFMC's licenses will either have to get upgraded. Upgrade ke liye a lot of conditions are there for becoming an AD2. It's not easy to get an AD2 license. Either you upgrade or you become an FXC. And FXC is modeled similar to a banking correspondent. He has to be exclusive to the AD2 or bank which provides the FXC license to him. And we are responsible for all the actions of our FXC, like similarly a banking correspondent. While it creates a lot of pressure on us to regulate our FXC, it also creates an opportunity for us to spread far and wide and be in every nook and corner, because if we are strategically able to tie up with some large value, large branch network wala FXCs, FFMCs who become a FXC, or some other industry where there is a good network, they can also become a FXC. Now they don't have to take a license anymore. They can become a Forex correspondent. This is still not passed yet, but this is we are expecting this to happen in the next three months. That is one part, FFMCs becoming FXCs. So RBI will have only a handful, 35 AD2s or something to regulate. We will have an opportunity to expand to FXC network and take our services far and wide. Point number two is we have got a perpetual license now. Once this regulation comes in, we don't have to go for renewal for every year or 3 years or 5 years. It will be a perpetual license. Third is trade remittance. Trade remittance up to 15 lakhs will be allowed to AD category 2. So these are the three major changes besides minor things like currency increase and all those stuff.
So trade remittance, could you just talk a little bit, because I have a little bit, not much of an idea of trade remittance, like who uses it, and like 15 lakhs, is it like a like a big update for us to get more business out of it?
So essentially today LRS market is $30 billion. Trade remittance would be $800 billion, right? Now, as a non-bank, this is the first time an AD category 2 is allowed to get into the trade remittance directly. So today we are only looking at it as an opportunity. We need to figure out how we can leverage the opportunity. These are early days for me to really, but what I'm saying is, just like once upon a time, money changers were only doing cards and currencies, traveler checks and currencies, then card and currencies. Now, after we became AD2, we got ability to do cross-border remittance under LRS, which today is, if you look at WSFX business, remittance is 2-3x of card. So a new area became much bigger than the old area. So tomorrow we don't know, 1 year, 2 years hence, this remittance, trade remittance as a category may overtake our current remittances also, because that volumes are way larger. Obviously, how we go about it, what we do about it, are something we are working on. And once the modalities come in, we will have a usual tie-up with the regulator, 81 banks, to, you know, put forth our solution to corporates. As always, all our solutions have always been available with banks, be it currency, card, remittance, etc. Where we try to do better is the way we handle our customers, maybe the support which we provide, the pricing we provide, through which we are competitive and get the business.
Okay. Because this is like 30x business of 3x business, 30x business of current LRS. You are talking about $800 billion in trade remittances, right?
We need to figure out where we can play, because obviously 15 lakhs is not a large limit. So we will operate initially the overall market I talked about, but we will, as I said, we will have an opportunity which was till date never there. So how it pans out, only over a period we will be able to analyze, you know, and really scope it out. Once we launch the solution after RBI gives the permission.
The like you just talk about the AD2 licenses, they are hard to get. So, and they currently, if I check the RBI list of December 23, correct me if I'm wrong, there are 75 AD2 licenses given by RBI.
Correct.
And how are the high are the entry barriers to AD2?
Pardon?
How high is the entry barrier to get an AD2 license in India?
Today, getting any license from RBI, the people have to undergo a lot of, scrutiny, you know. this is not earlier times. Now a lot of scrutiny is there when RBI issues a license. Obviously there are network conditions, etc. But overall they check everything before they issue a license. So AD2 license as a category with them increasing the scope, definitely they will not give to any Tom, Dick and Harry. They will be scrutinizing, looking at the credentials and only give the license. And that is the reason. See, the purpose is not to give 1,750 licenses, no, without them subscribing to the stringent conditions of AD2.
Okay, because most of them are SFGs. And so predominantly there will be very less players who are just focusing on the FX market.
So essentially what happens is FFMC will no longer be under RBI's purview once this regulation comes in. After they don't renew the license, then it will be banks, AD2s and FXCs.
Okay, I will just ask a basic question, Sri Krishna. I just want to know, what are the prerequisites to growing the business in this industry? If I want to look at a larger, longer term perspective, say for WSFX itself, so like 5 years down the line, how do you tend to grow this business?
So essentially, you know, as I said, I don't want to, be too futuristic about things. We feel that we are in the right place, and as a regulated player, no, I cannot speculate. My boundaries are always based on RBI guidelines. So as I said, in the last slide you must have seen, I said I am a regulated fintech. So my scope and boundaries will always be based on the permissions available. So within that boundary, whatever growth we will try to achieve. So today I cannot say this, the regulator will do this and all. Today we have got trade remittance. We are bullish about it while we are growing our existing business. Tomorrow more opportunities are given, we will be in the right position to leverage because we know this industry, we know this trade.
So I asked this question in the last phone call also, but I just wanted you to give me an answer if possible in this quarter. Like, how many agents have you onboarded in this quarter? If in percentage terms or nominal terms is possible?
See, as I said, no, any specific information you have to write to us, we will give you, because in a public forum I don't discuss about numbers, percentages, etc., which are for my competitors also will be listening to this. So I can only give you global information. Any specific information, please write to the company secretary. If it is within our purview, we will update you.
Okay. And from 750 to 1,000 FXCs, how many do we think we can get them as an agent for us?
So that is, as I said, now today when we are not even starting, we don't want to speculate. Because we want the guidelines to come to, we feel it's an exciting model. Obviously, our idea would be to onboard some quality, then quantity. So we will try to use this as a model to gain coverage in areas where we don't have coverage. And we will be very stringent on people whom we onboard. So the idea is involves the WSFX. It will always be quality over quantity, and compliance is very high for us. So as I said, we will gradually only move with very stringent controls, because as an AD2 player, our liabilities are very high. If the FXCs do something wrong, we will be liable. Okay?
In the last quarter slide, Zoho and Reliance were not mentioned. Are they new customers that you onboarded?
So last year we onboarded these clients.
Any new corporate clients that you onboarded in this quarter that you would like to mention?
No, actually every quarter we do an update, no? You will know about it.
Okay. What kind of an equity dilution are we looking for FY25 in terms of ESOPs?
So as of today, we have a plan already 2018 pay. As per that plan, the ESOP will be provided to the staff.
So like, could you just give me a number for equity dilution? Like how much?
What I would suggest is, if there are certain questions, like technical questions, now why don't you not drop a mail? We will share it to you, because there is someone else also waiting on the queue.
Okay, so I'll just come back to the queue for the next question.
Sure, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Imran from Quantum Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, yeah, good afternoon, Shri Krishna. Just a couple of housekeeping questions. Do we have any idea what market share we command in the market or something?
So if you look at it, we are into multiple segments, right? So essentially we are into corporate, we are into leisure, we are into remittance, and banks are also part of this. So if you see, remittance is overall the purview of the banks.
Okay.
So how do we define our market? So if I technically have to remove the bank, I'll say among 82s, right?
Okay.
But overall, if you look at it, at the students segment, if you look at it, student segment, I think we command quite a good market share, maybe around 12 to 15% of the market share.
Mm-hmm.
But regarding the other sector, we are decent, maybe anywhere between 5% to 5%. But as I said, these are all things which are subjective, because if you look at LRS itself, it talks of a $3.5 billion. But if you look at some of the part of LRS for students going into living expense, it will be still higher only. But per se, we do command anywhere, different segments, anywhere from 2% to up to 10 to 15% also in particular segments. But as I said, there are only 3-4 big players in the market, and we are one among them.
Okay. Okay. There was no taxation liability in our accounts this year. Do we have a tax cover for how much more period or something?
Sorry?
There was no taxation charge in the...
Taxation? What, sorry?
No tax liability provided.
Yeah, because we have the carry forward taxes.
Okay. So how much will you have more cover available?
We have, you can see the deferred tax figure there in the balance okay. sheet and the current tax. So in total around 8 crore.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Another thing, there has been a large release of working capital this year. And you are sitting on a fixed deposit of some very huge amount.
Yeah, so for fixed deposit, against fixed deposit, we take the credit limit, credit facility from the bank, which is required in this business. So right. that is how it works.
So the FD is all hypothecated for limits, Imran.
No, but working capital release has been very good this...
Yes, it is.
Because you have operating profit before working capital changes is about 6 crores and then you have cash 23 crores, so about 17 crores have been. So is there been any specific debtor or something which you realized or is it, or are these cash flows going to continue? We don't need to create more debtors right, to do more sales.
These cash flows will continue. It only depends on the, season.
So I will explain one thing, Imran. If you look at it, last year, all four quarters, our result was better. If you remember earlier also, we used to have kind of a huge seasonality between Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. So
right.
while it is very nice to say student business is very good, student business is not year around. So student
okay.
business works very well with low working capital. But if we don't hedge ourselves with looking at other businesses like corporate business, etc., then we will only make profits during those season months and make losses during the other months. So
okay.
one business does not need working capital. But one other business does need working capital, and if you look at leisure business, we need to keep currency inventory at the branches so that we can give currencies. So it all depends on the business mix. Our idea is while we rely largely on students, we also will try to grow another two more segments which hedges against the seasonality.
Right.
And accordingly, the working capital utilization. So obviously, the moment you do more of corporate, you will have a little bit more working capital utilization.
Right. So this 43% growth in this quarter is an exceptional thing, or we could see not 43%, but something much greater growth, which is happening in terms of travel and people wanting to go abroad and all kinds of things. So is it something which is we are going on to a different trajectory, or we would still see about 20-25% growth?
So from our perspective, we feel optimistic because market is growing, we are growing, and this industry has limited players. We see a good growth trajectory, but I would not like to put a number on it, you know, because that will become speculative, but we are optimistic that our growth will be good.
Right. And I calculate our revenue remaining about 1.44% or 1.41% of the gross turnover we do.
Yes, that is because now we are completely out of wholesale. There was a time in pre-COVID, 30% of our business was wholesale. During COVID, we took a call that the company will not be in wholesale business. So now overall, we have got into this gross margin and we are confident that it will remain there. Obviously, our business is B2B. A major portion of this will also go as agent commission also.
Okay. Thank you very much. Congratulations. Good performance. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Aniket Gada from Investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Shri Krishna, I just wanted to ask, do we still sell and distribute Somascope travel cards?
Yeah, we do.
So what's the difference between that card and our WFX smart currency card? What's the difference between that card and a WFX smart currency card that we also sell?
Distributing HDFC cards, Thomas Cook cards and Yes Bank cards. So we are distributors of all the three cards, but with Yes Bank card, it's a kind of a co-branded card arrangement where we have some control on the features, etc. We have our own app which manages this card, whereas with the HDFC and Thomas Cook, it's just a plain distributor arrangement.
Okay, so we are basically... Can I say commission agents?
So you cannot say that as a commission agent because they don't. It's not like an FXC model. We can sell the card, so there are multiple lines of profit there. So we can say we are a distribution partner.
Okay, distribution partner. So just a parenthetical question. The outstanding debt is the OD that we've been using has been down drastically. It will be the same. Like, because last phone call, you mentioned that we might require funds to grow our business. So what's going to happen? So, we are going to use more HODI right now in the next year or?
So, essentially, if you really look at it, when we talked about looking for funds, we are not desperate for funds. We were looking for growth. In fact, as you said, we are working in progress for our prepaid forex cards, etc. So while the company wants to grow, we are always looking at good funding options. So overall, when we grow our corporate business, we are looking at working capital, which anyway we are trying to arrange through the banking limits. So obviously, when business grows, we may have some fund requirements, a portion of it for working capital, a portion of it for marketing expenses when we try to quickly grow our D2C business. Today, we are more predominantly a B2B and a corporate business. When we do D2C, we have to invest on more on technology and marketing. So these are all plans which the company has, which we will try to gradually grow.
Okay. The follow-up, the last disclosure of the CTO resigning, are we looking to get someone in?
Yeah. That is something which we always try to replace, maybe at the same level or one level below when we get the right candidate.
On the prepaid forex cards, there's in India there's a huge competition in that regard. So there's new cards that are very which have a very large presence, the Axis Bank cards, the IDFC cards. So how we are looking at the competition from our perspective?
So banks have been there throughout, right? Originally it was only banks, correct? And we were only distributors to it. As I said, fintechs, money changers, AD2s, no financial services, NBFC should not exist if banks was efficient, right? Because there is a need that the last mile connect is required, service is required, price competitiveness needs to be there. That is why we exist. Like when money changers were started maybe initially 100 years back, subsequently when liberalization made things moved in a different way. Earlier people had to stand in front of a bank to get $200-$300. Today, they get it like Swiggy and Zomato, they get foreign exchange also at home or at office. So today what happens is the need for service, the need for competitive pricing has only spurred the momentum where today fintechs disrupt. So that is where from a money exchange perspective, an AD2 plays a part. While all the services of AD2 is available with the bank, the way we try to connect with the customer to the last mile makes us relevant, and the way we try to innovatively tie up or offer or promote or give our handhold with the customers is a big difference.
My question was in this regard, will there be in future, there might be aggressive pricing, the markup discounts might be there in this prepaid FX business. So how we are geared up for that? Because currently IDFC is not taking any markup on the transactions done by the prepaid cards, even Neo is doing the same. So how is the competition so intense in this category? So how we are looking to get the business? Only we are just looking at the corporate angle or we might go into retail or something like that?
Essentially, we are a responsible listed company. We don't go into price wars only for valuation or try to do business at a loss. We have our loyal customers. We provide service. And we have a philosophy that, you know, business should not be done at a loss. So while there are players who will try to do a lot of things, we are long-term, we are systematic, we have a customer base. There are players who have even changed 10 banks as the back-end. We are not competing with any of them. We, as a listed company, as a responsible company, have a prudent pricing model. We are competitive, and our market growth has also shown that the customer is consistently with us, because customer is also not looking for only price, 5 paisa, 10 paisa. They stick to reliability, service, trust, etc. So obviously every business has this challenge, be it an IT or a consumer goods, etc. But you have to decide how you want to compete, the where you want to compete, and which segments you want to compete. And our philosophy is very clear. That is why we have not gone into the D2C place in such an aggressive manner to burn cash and make a loss. We are more a B2B player as of now, and we will gradually move to D2C, not at the cost of, you know, selling below cost or zero cost or etc.
Okay. Last two questions. How many of our 300 employees are in sales and marketing? Like, how much of the team is he?
That's what I said. If there are any specific questions, I will not be in a position to reveal. Because as I said, if you want any specific details or numbers and all, please drop a mail to us.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to, the last question, I just want to ask, what's the rationale behind giving the dividend right now? Because currently, we might be looking to get some funds, and like providing those funds, like 1.2 crores that you are distributing in dividends, they might be useful for the company to utilize for the growth purposes. So I just wanted to know the rationale behind getting, like, declaring a dividend.
Yeah, sorry.
Secret, so my last question was, like, the dividend that was declared. You just mentioned previously that you might be looking for funds for the next year to grow the business. So I just wanted to know the rationale behind declaring the dividend where there's an outgo of 1.2 crores, which might help us to grow the business for next year.
Yeah, so essentially, last dividend we declared 3 years back. Now we feel, you know, we have grown strongly. Last year we were profitable. This year we have booked better profits. We would also want to share, you know, that the company has grown, you know, consistently we are profitable, and wanted to also, in a way, give back to the investors who have supported us. Something, share the growth. And that is the reason, and also share the confidence the company has on the business, and also want the investors to have confidence in the company. So that is where it was discussed and decided that let's have a dividend this year. And we always will strive to create value for the shareholders. The idea is as simple.
Thank you. I just wanted to appreciate the time and effort they've taken for the phone call, Krishna and Ms. Pooja. And I hope to wish you all the best for the coming year, you and the management and the company as a whole. So have a great year. Thank you so much. Thank you.
As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Shri Krishna and Ms. Pooja Mishra for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. I would once again like to thank everyone for joining us. If you have any further queries, please visit our website, or you can reach out to our company secretary. Thank you so much. I now request moderator to conclude the call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of WSFX Global Pay Limited, we thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.